Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Vibrant Body and Abundant Life Expert Series. This is really an inspiring, empowering event where some of the world's cutting-edge mind, body, spirit healers, coaches, and leaders are coming together to share with you their wisdom, their tools, so that you can move beyond your fears, self-doubts, limiting beliefs, plus heal your pain, illness, and trauma. So, as you all know, I am your host, Tanya Penny, self-love catalyst, vibrant body, and abundant life coach. And I'm here because I'm devoted to helping you heal, whether it's pain in your body, chronic illness, trauma, abuse, so that you can enjoy a healthy body, peaceful mind, balanced lifestyle. You deserve to fully live your passionate, purposeful life with abundance and freedom. So today we have with us Meg Benedicte. And I'm truly excited to have Meg here. She is somebody that I discovered, gosh, I think it was a few years ago. I don't remember for how long. And I remember the first time I heard Meg, I don't even know if my ego could fully take in at the time what she was, you know, what she was doing, what she was saying. But something in me, something in my spirit, my soul said, just listen anyways. And so I know that she has just got so much to share with us today. This is such a big year, 2017. We were actually both just talking about it before we started this session today. So let me just tell you a little bit about Meg before we dive in. So Meg is the creator of Quantum Access, a powerful healing technique that quickly shifts consciousness, unlocks karma, and removes energetic patterns so clients can accelerate their personal ascension. In 1994, Meg experienced a spontaneous Kundalini activation that opened her energy body to accept an angelic soul walk-in. Embodying a time jumper, adept in alchemy and ascension, tapping into ancient mystery school knowledge from past incarnations in Lemuria, Sirius, Zeptepi, Egypt, Meg has developed a time-tested ascension activation program for all seeking soul integration. And for the past 20 years, Meg has been sharing quantum access in private healing with international audiences in webinars, meditations, radio shows, CDs, and her book, Soul Realized: Unlocking the Sacred Keys of Becoming a Divine Human. So everyone take a breath and welcome Meg.
Thank you so much, Tanya. It's a pleasure to be here with you. So I'm excited for our discussion. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm excited as well. What I have found, as I mentioned to you before we started this, this chat, this discussion, this whatever's going to happen today, you just never know actually what's going to happen lately, is what I have found. all of the ego plans and, things that I think are going to happen, 99% of the time lately seem to unfold in a different way. So I'm just grateful for you to be here today and to share with us all that you have, all that you are, and so let's dive in. What we're really here to discuss is connecting with the divine you and really connecting so that not only can we heal our bodies, we can have the peaceful mind that I mentioned, but we can have that deeper soul connection and really live from a place of higher consciousness, which of course then we're able to receive, 100% abundance. We're able to live in freedom. So my question to you to begin with, as I do with most, is you know, really for you, what is having that vibrant body, abundant life, that connecting with the divine you, like, what does that look like for you? You know, what does that feel like? What does that look like for you at this time in your life?
Okay. Well, first of all, I pretty much view everything now as just vibrating energy. And I began to realize when I first started working with clients 20 years ago, I would say, okay, I'm going to connect with their divine self, their soul presence, and get guidance on what they need in the session. And then every time I would tune into their soul, I would realize I would get popped out of their body and find their soul either up in their mental body or in the aura. I'm like, what the heck? Why is this happening? You know, and this, as I began to discover this with every client and even starting to watch my own field go, okay, I don't think I'm in my body either. And it was a real big kind of a wake-up call. It's like, okay, there's something that is disconnecting us, to what we would call more of our human self from our divine self or our soul. And so that was kind of, I was on this quest. Okay, I got to figure out why is this. And because I believe this is a true root of disease. You know, if we aren't able to embody our own kundalini life force, our own soul presence, we're slowly dying. You know, we're not getting the energy we need. We're not getting that really high vibratory life force that we need to really flourish. And so it's just picking away, and I actually learned a lot. And I tell people, you know, I think my client sessions are like my university. That's literally where I just would watch and look and observe and learn. And I learned and learned. And so there's several reasons why our energy is depleted and deficient of this beautiful divine soul essence. And it's, okay, one of the reasons is we're all vibrating too low. So we need to increase our energy frequency. And again, just kind of talking plain terms, energy, how do we get our energy higher? Well, if you do a little basic study in just like quantum physics and even just general physics, our energy spirals. And so our galaxy spirals. Everything is spiraling. And so we need to increase our spin momentum. We need to increase our spiral. We need to get our oscillation rate faster. And this starts elevating the frequency of the body, which has been pretty much running 7 to 8 hertz, which is solid like a rock. You know, how do you get a soul into a rock? So this is where we're trying to increase the frequency of the physical biology so it can actually kind of meet up to where the soul is vibrating, which is very high. So that's the first thing. And then you start to look at everything that you're ingesting into the body that's contributing to the low vibration. And this could be, of course, food, but it could also be emotions, and it could even just be the energy around you or the people around you and these kinds of things. So you start to become much more selective on what you bring into your body, into your field, so that you can maintain that higher vibration. So you're really starting to create an environment that the soul can descend down in. We want that higher self to come down and really merge with the human self inside. Okay, vibration is one. The other thing I noticed as I was watching in client sessions is we're living in a polarized electromagnetic field. This whole planet is polarized, as you can tell. And so that polarity, right, it's an opposition. It's a battle. It's literally a push-pull, and this is running inside us. So this also pops the soul out. When you're really polarized, it makes it very difficult for the soul to maintain a presence because the soul, of course, is very neutral, right? It's very calm and peaceful. So we have to also neutralize our own polarity. And then the third thing that I found is that there is this whole, what do we call it? You know, it's called the veils. It's called separation consciousness. But it literally is, there is a system that is dividing the physical world from the non-physical world. And this is where people have a hard time being able to bridge into the non-physical world. And And but that's where our soul is. That's where spirit is. You know, that's where the abundance of our universe is. So we're over here locked into a very low vibrational reality, and we are veiled and blocked from the rest of the universe. So this is why everyone is feeling so disconnected and unhappy and depressed and, you know, hopeless and all these things. So we have to remove that veil or barrier between the physical and the non-physical so we can actually merge the two worlds together. So that's where I think those are probably the three probably top ones that I've noticed have been preventing us from being able to bring the soul literally embodied inside us.
Wow. Okay, cool. So I've got a few questions. You just gave us a good chunk there, and my mind was going, ooh, okay, yes. Or not my mind, actually, probably my soul. But So why do you think that we are vibrating so low? Like, why do you think we even came in at such a low vibration level, right? Because, I mean, and do we come in at that level, or no, is it because of all the things you mentioned that bring us down?
Yes. So when I was originally waking up, I'd started to do a lot of remote viewing into my other past lives, and that's where I was really starting to tap into this ancient knowledge, especially in Zeptepi, Egypt. And I saw that the original human race didn't look like we do now, and they were very they were almost like moving morphic fields where they responded to the consciousness that flowed through them, and then that's what materialized in their reality. Can you imagine living like that? I can't even imagine. I would love it.
Just as you were saying that, I actually could see it.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre. Like, I just, now that you just said that, I actually could see, and it was almost like they were beings, but it was almost like you could see through them. Is that right?
Yes, they were semi-light, you know, and semi-solid. Yeah, they were really morphing. They were quite beautiful. And I think what's happened, we've had genetic reengineering over the centuries since then that has started to limit us and lock us down. And so now the original humans were up to 12 strands of DNA, and that gave them access to the 12 dimensions of our universe. So they were highly evolved and multidimensional, and we're down to 2 strands. This is where we're locked in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, so think of the 2 strands as representing duality. We're locked in duality. So that's a big deal, and that's what we're in the process right now. This is why so many of us are here on the planet right now, because now we can break the link of the double helix lockdown and start multiplying strands, and this is already happening. There's, you know, you can just Google and see pictures of people. You know, they have scientific studies, 4 strands, 6 strands. It's happening. And as we return back to being those original divine human race, then everything opens up to us. So I think the vibratory rate of our body will continue to get higher and lighter as we open all this back up again.
Wow. And I can, even as you're, just as you're even talking right now, I can feel my body actually responding.
Good.
To what you're saying. Like, I can feel the vibration in my body, which is crazy to me, right? Because, I mean, I use a lot of things. I do a lot of things. I've worked with a lot of healers and coaches, people like yourself, people like myself, and it's like there's still so much, right?
Oh,
there's still such, I don't want to say a long way to go, because that's, you know, ego perceptive type stuff, but it's just so interesting. It's all fascinating.
Well, it's happening faster too. Yeah, it's, you know, when I started 20 years ago, my God, it would seem like it would take me, you know, a year just to pull out one family pattern. You know, it was so slow and laborious, and everything was so locked down, but not now. And I think part of it is what happened on December 21st, 2012. I had a really clear, insightful vision where it was kind of like what we see, you know, in aerospace, where they have the big viewing room and they're watching the launch of a satellite or something. I worked in the satellite industry. So I saw a lot of this, and the screen went dark, and so it was like the controllers lost control of the global matrix simulation on that date, 12/21/12. And so since then, so it's been for years that it's unraveling and it's losing its power, it's losing its control over the human race, over our minds. And so this is where the veils are dropping away and people are waking up and everything's going faster now, really fast. It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. And as I wanted to make sure we brought up, for a lot of us, it feels very uncomfortable. It feels... And not even, you might even say worse than uncomfortable. For some of us, you actually, I mean, it feels like hell. It really, like, mentally, physically, and emotionally, your symptoms may, you know, any body symptoms may, you know, have come back or increased or heightened. Depression or anxiety may, you know, be going out of the roof for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So to, I guess I just wanted to bring that up so people, a lot, because a lot of people think things are getting worse, but actually we're feeling worse. Everything's getting better. The vibration's raising. Like you said, the veils are lifting. The density is dissolving. And so, in the meantime, until it's fully through the process, a lot of us are going to feel, quote, unquote, bad.
Yeah, and I think just so you can kind of put it in a perspective that your ego doesn't fight it, because it will want to. It will definitely want to fight this because it's so uncomfortable. But one of the things that I watched as I was working on myself and working on clients is it's like, oh, okay, energy releases in the same form that it came in. So if you had depression or you had fear, it releases us fear. It releases us depression. So one of the biggest things to watch for is, okay, if you're feeling really anxious or you're feeling really depressed, just realize, okay, you know, this is like oil on water. This is all the old emotions lifting out of me. So don't personalize it. Just go, okay, today we're clearing depression. And that way then you're not, you don't get kind of pulled into it again. You don't re-experience it. You kind of stand on the sideline and observe, okay, today we're clearing fear, anxiety, or depression. And don't ingest it back in. You want to keep it moving.
Yes, don't stay attached to it, right? Stay attached to it. You create a little space, and I love that, that we can say, and I've been having to say it to myself a lot lately.
Yeah.
And even though I know what it is, it still feels really... can feel really, quote-unquote, you know, icky or bad. And it's saying to myself, you know what? This is coming up so strong right now to leave, right? I don't have to get in fear about it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to, you know, think things are getting worse. If I can just tell myself, okay, let's just be with it. Let's hold the space for it, because it's actually coming up to leave.
It is. It's the best thing you want. You want it to go back to the light. Yes. Amen.
And when you talk about the veils of illusion, you know, as one of the three, are you really talking about the belief systems? The egoic belief systems?
It is belief systems. It could be ancestral lineage, programming and patterning passed down the generations. It could be literally where I found this so often. I had this as well. Like, you would have this brilliant creative idea, and then you go to try to follow it, and then bam, you hit the wall in your mind, and it's gone. And you're just like, what just happened? But that's the wall. That's the veil. So it really is limiting our capacity to expand into such a kind of this quantum vastness of our universe, where there's just unlimited ideas and creation and abundance. And so that's literally, like, I have felt it to be similar to as if my body is like my prison cell. My mind is like my prison cell, and I've been locked in it, and I want to bust the chains and open it all out. And we are doing that now. We can get, they literally look like walls, like barrier walls in the mind, or they could feel like constriction, like locking into like your musculoskeletal and just holding you tight. So it is astral, but you might feel it physically as well and experience it
that
way.
Because just like emotions, like thoughts and beliefs, emotions, they all are held in the body.
Yeah, yes.
They are held in the cells of the body. You know, and one of the biggest, I guess, illusions, quote-unquote beliefs, that is coming up big time for me, and I know it is for a lot of my clients, is that whole not good enough. Oh, right? Wow. The whole, like, I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. Which, when we have those ideas and we have these amazing, you know, things that we're meant to put out in the world and share with others, that one comes in big time. Have you?
Yeah, that's a big one.
How do you, what do you do with, I'm guessing that that one has come up for you as well. And,
yes,
and when that
yes.
comes up, what do you, how do you work with that and, like, for yourself and with your clients? Like, I know that you have a process and, you know, so what do you use? What do you tell your people? Because I know it's a big one for a lot of us.
So it's like this underlying program looping in the mind and in the emotions, and it's probably, unless this is someone's first life here, it has been building up over past lives as well, where they may have been persecuted and traumatized for living their life fully or living their sole purpose. And so this builds inside this trauma and fear of truly kind of busting out again, right, and being in your full potential. It's a constricting consciousness that really holds us in. And I think it is built up from past life persecution. It could also have been, passed down through the family patterning and belief systems. If the family is also living in that,
yes.
that kind of sabotage, you know, limitation. And
yeah.
we've got this planetary matrix simulation, and it's just pumping into us more of what I would call like enslavement or servitude mentality. So it's trying to make us feel like we are second class citizens, and that, you know, we don't have the rights to all that we know we can live. And so it's very subliminal and it's very subtle, but it is pumping in and it's making us almost, I would call it like a doubt program. You know, it makes us doubt ourselves and makes us question ourselves and question our power, question our ability. It's meant to do that. So okay,
and
so
therefore controls us.
Yeah.
holds us back, right? It, you know, holds
totally.
Us down or back or whatever you want to
yeah.
say. Oh, that's so interesting.
Really suppresses us, yes. So when I work with my technique, so I'm again back to kind of the spiral. I work with a spiraling vortex energy. So when I catch anything like that, perhaps I just caught a thought form of it, you know, I'm like, oh, there it is. And so I lock my focus on it when I catch it. And or if you could be in meditation, in your own meditation, you could conjure it up. You could call up, well, what did it feel like when, you know, that happened in the past? You could start tuning into it again. But lock your focus onto that pattern or program. And then I command it out of my field. And I use the spiral movement to actually move it up and out of the mental body or out of the emotional body or where it's stored in the cells, out of the physical body. So that way then you are literally taking control of your own energy field, and you're the boss, you know, you're the master of it, and you're not going to allow this stuff to be running in you anymore. So when you catch it, you lock your focus on it, you command it out, you spin it out. I send everything to the light, so it all transmutes to light. And that way then I call it like internal house cleaning. You're just getting in there and you're going and you're getting out the dust bunnies, you're pulling out the
yep.
shadow, right?
Spring cleaning.
Spring cleaning is right, and you feel lighter. You know, you start to realize that that was really dragging you down. Yeah, you start to, and you can begin to actually fulfill what you're inspired now to do. You can begin to actually bring it into manifestation, which is, of course, the most fulfilling part of it all.
So when you do this technique, when you use this technique with your clients, it sounds like you do the process with them or for them, but then are they also, well, I guess two questions. How do I say it? So number one, you use the process with them. Now, are you doing it, quote unquote, to them, or are they visualizing and doing it with you too?
Yes. Yeah, I hope they are. We're working together, but because they actually have to let me into their field to be able to do it
right.
too. So they're right. definitely working with me, and they're pointing to where it is. Okay, I'm feeling it here. I'm watching it do this. So they're guiding me, and then together we lock our focus on it. We start moving it out of the field. And yes, they do need to learn how to maintain their field on their own as well. So, you know, there's only so much I think that we can do for people. Then they have to step in and begin to, you know, contain their field and not let this stuff, you know, come back in and be able to really
right.
hold that center, you know, balance point inside them.
So really staying in our power, right? is kind of another way to say it, right? Not letting,
yes.
You know, but of course things do and will get in. So when that happens, do you also work with people to teach them to be aware of when something comes back in and how to then shift it or release it on their own?
Yes, in the sessions it's a bit educational, so I'm giving them, you know, kind of homework and tips on how to do this on their own, and they also have it recorded so then they can work with the recording and do it on their own. I've also taught, you know, training workshops and go really deep into the details of how to do mm-hmm. this and what to look for. But I think just real simple answer is, if they feel their vibration drops again, you know, or if they feel somehow they're losing their connection to their soul essence, then that would be the time to go, okay, let me go sit in silence and see where this is happening. And so they begin to get real familiar with their own energy field, right? And be able to tune in and just go, okay, where am I feeling this happen? And then they can just go right at it on their own. So that's the goal. Cause I'm not anybody's guru. I want everyone to be able to do this and be empowered to do it on their own.
Amen to that. I think the days of the, the hands-on, I don't want to say hands-on healing is, you know, I'm not putting that down or saying that that can't happen anymore, but really the days of us taking, you know, learning and then using and doing it for ourselves and having people such as you and I, you know, guides that are teaching us, but not necessarily doing it to us anymore.
Right, right. It's definitely the new paradigm. I think we really are starting to rise up into more of this empowerment paradigm for everybody. I feel empowered when I can share this with others too. So it's a beautiful exchange, I think, of energy that's happening now at that level.
Absolutely, I would agree. And it's empowerment for everybody. And I think that is so important. For so many reasons. But how do people know? This is a question I get asked a lot, so I want to present it to you. My clients will often say to me, you know, how do I know when I am fully connected with myself and source, you know, whatever you call it? How do I know when I'm fully in my divine, you know, essence?
Okay. I kind of go at it more from a practical, mechanical view. So I see our energy body inside us as our chakra pillar, and this is what I would call our non-physical self. And that's where we want to bring our soul presence into, especially into the heart chakra, into the kind of the core main hub of the energy body, of the chakra pillar. And that's when I would look, and that's when I saw the soul isn't in here. So really, truly, actually getting your soul energy into your body, into your chakra pillar. That would be the first thing. Well, there's a problem with that because most of the chakras, if not all of them, are all clogged up and they're full of... Right? They're full of sludge. They're full of emotions and shadow. So, again, helping people to do, they could do, you know, Kundalini yoga, meditation, whatever to, I use the vortex and just keep spinning those chakras open, getting them cleared. And that is then the soul can beautifully, smoothly descend down and in. And when you have that happen, you know, your soul is made of light and sound. So you're going to feel electrical current. It's going to tingle. You're going to feel it. It's a surge. The soul's in and it's like bliss. It's love. It's just beautiful, and you're going to feel charged. I literally feel almost like my engine's going, it's amping up with that Kundalini energy, your soul life force. Also, I found it a couple things that it helped improve for me. As the soul is building inside the heart, you know, heart solar plexus in the core there, I felt more confidence growing, more courage, but it was like authentic confidence. It wasn't coming from, you know, a superior ego. It literally felt like, oh, I can do this. I literally feel like it's real. It's real confidence. And so that felt, I also felt more conviction in my soul's calling. So you really get real motivated. Like it's literally kind of coming from your heart out into the world. I couldn't stop it. It was like, we're doing this. And I was like, okay. You know, it's just like, you know, the soul wants
it was pulling you forward.
I was like, oh, I guess
but not from an ego place, you know. And I think a lot of people, you know, they think, oh, it's my soul, or it's my, you know, it pulling me, you know, calling me to do this. But, you know, again, I think a lot of us, we need to get clear on, you know, is that really, or is that is that my ego pushing me versus me being guided and pulled by spirit?
And that's probably that's a great way to look at it, that the ego does push. And one of the things I found too is, again, we just talk just general flow of energy. When our energy is trying to push out into the world, you can't receive. You can't do both at the same time. So when we're pushing, the ego's pushing, we're basically cut off from receiving the soul to descend in, and we're cut off from receiving the abundance coming in from the universe. So the more that we can get still and hold our energy and not push anymore, woo, that's a big improvement right there, because then you can receive it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people are, you know, maybe I found it for myself, and maybe people that are listening, and maybe you, Meg, experienced it too. But, you know, of course, being in this lifetime, we have been conditioned, I should say, lifetime, really the masculine way of doing things. That's shifting now, but, you know, it was my way of doing things. And I have found in the last couple of years, and really strongly in the past year, that it wasn't working for me anymore. Anytime I tried to create or to do things from that place of push or make happen, nothing would happen.
No, it wouldn't anymore. Yeah. Well, so I think there you go.
Our higher levels aren't even letting that happen. Like, it's like not even possible.
Yeah, it totally loses its effectiveness, huh? It just becomes obsolete at that point. We have to learn
the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even bother. It's like hitting your head against the wall, because it's not going to work.
It's not
going to work. So if there was one thing, or, you know, if there's two, that's fine too. One to two things that you could share with everybody listening today, a tip or a tool that could help them to more fully, and I know we've already covered quite a bit here, but to really make it concrete, something that they could do even on a daily basis, something maybe you do on a daily basis, that could help them to more fully connect with, embody their divine.
Okay, so some of the regular practice that I learned through this whole process, I had to get grounded in my body. I wasn't grounding. I didn't even know what that was, so I had to learn, okay, well, how do you ground? So that would be one thing. I get out of bed. I get my feet on the floor. I connect my feet chakras. They literally work like magnets, and so I lock down onto the light grid of our planet. So that would be one thing people can do. You're literally choosing where you ground every day. So you can choose to ground into this more conscious, harmonious world, or you could choose to ground into the polarized world. Well, I choose to ground in the harmonious world. So that's where I lock my feet onto. I use your intention. If you visualize, you can I literally imagine the ley lines of light around the Earth's surface, and you get your feet on that. Lock your feet onto that. That would be the first thing, grounding. The other thing that was a big deal that my spirit team kept insisting is get out in nature. And you know, I liked exercising. I liked being out. I lived in Los Angeles, but they were like, we're doing this again. No pushing, right? We're going to do this a different way. So I lived at the beach in Marina del Rey. So they're like, okay, get out onto the bluff out there, and you're surrounded by the elements of nature. And they said, open your field and absorb nature. Absorb the elements, because literally we cannot manifest here without nature. And so that was all new to me. I didn't even know. I was brilliant, but new. And so I spent years out at the beach absorbing in the elements. And what I found is, especially when the last few years I was living in Mount Shasta in California, I would get up to the top of the mountain, and there's this sacred American Indian meadow. It's called Panther's Meadow. And I would sit in the quiet, and the bees and the birds are buzzing around. I sit in the meadow, and I psychically watched my body, and all the cells were starting to reorder. I was like, holy cow, what's happening here? And they said, nature is a field of coherent order. Every time you get into nature, your brain waves balance, they go higher, your vibration goes higher, you clean your aura, like get in nature. That would be two of the things I would recommend everybody to make time if they can. Of course, I don't think we can ascend without meditation because we have to get that connection to the soul. So those are three things that I would recommend as often as you can.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, I think it's really important, too. Well, first of all, I love the grounding. That's something I'm glad you reminded me of that again, because that's something that I haven't consciously been doing for a while, and so I'm definitely going to start doing that again. And I like how you said that we can, with our intention, consciously choose to ground into the non-polarized, the non-dual, the one that is more spacious and open and, yes, that energy. And I forgot, what was the word you actually called it? You said something nature.
It's definitely a coherent field of order in nature. And and then when you ground, you can select to ground to the light grid of that harmonious earth. And that was then you are setting that as like the foundation of your life underneath you, literally
underneath you. Yeah, literally. I like that light grid of harmony, of the harmonious earth. Yes, I love that. Yeah. And then the nature part, my gosh, it seems so simple, right? But for so many of us, it's amazing because so many people are inside.
Yes.
Working.
Big city. Yes.
In sitting, right? And one of the biggest things I found for me in healing lots of things, but definitely the multiple sclerosis that I had in the past, was the more that I got out in nature and connected with that divine order of nature, I could feel that too. I could feel my mind, my body reorganize, calm, like my central nervous system would calm down because it was so amped from the past trauma I had too, which many of us do, past lives and this lifetime. So definitely that nature piece, oh, I love that, and that's hugely important to get outside. And of course, I love the meditation piece too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to say to everyone listening, like, I know that a lot of us have the belief that we don't have enough time, right? I don't have time to get outside. I don't have time to meditate. And I think we're at the point, though, it's like, how do we not make time to do those things that we know are going to help us to not just only heal, but to ascend, right?
And it doesn't have to take a lot of time. It really doesn't. You could crawl into bed and for 10 minutes just meditate into, you know, just om in your mind. You know, there's so many ways we can do this where, you know, everyone's busy, but you can carve out a little time each day. I think it's just I used to think of it, and it helped me introduce it into my routine. It's like, okay, it's just think of it like an additional meal, but this meal is going to be energy. This meal is going to be light. And then it made sense, you know, to just kind of carve out a little time for that because I needed it. We need it.
Yeah, absolutely. And even I love that you said, you know, it doesn't have to be a lot of people think like with exercise, right? Well, I either have to exercise for 60 minutes or meditate for 60 minutes. It's like, no, it's like it can be 5 minutes of standing outside in the sunshine and breathing.
Breathing. Yep.
Right? Standing in the grass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like put your feet in the grass and breathe. Like, so, and I know everyone's got at least 5 minutes. Everyone listening has at least 5 minutes. And even when you choose to exercise, a lot of people go to the gym. What if you just got outside and walked or ran or biked or whatever it was? So I just really felt it was important to bring up the time thing because I know that that's a lot of people's sexy excuse, what I call it.
Right.
Our egos say, I don't have enough time for that. It's like, that is such bullshit.
That's really ego resistance. So anytime you hear it, just know, okay, that's my ego resisting me evolving and ascending. Don't give it any power.
Yes. No, say that is bullshit and do it anyways.
Yep.
Awesome, Meg. So you have a free gift for us as well. And so it's called Heal, Clear, Break Free. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. This is a meditative activations I put together. I think it runs about 30 minutes, so you would have to carve out 30 minutes. But it takes you through, literally through each of the steps to activate the whole quantum vortex. So I'm taking you into the sacred space, into the technique. It helps you connect to your soul and really descend that soul into your body, and helps you ground. So all these things we just talked about are included in it. And then we go into some really focused clearing, healing activations, you know, really clearing out the programming, the patterning, the matrix simulation, all of this stuff. And so that you can break free from it to live as your divine self. That's our goal here, is to embody the soul and live, like literally where I get a bit 80-85%, you are embodying your soul. You're able to see through the eyes of the soul. The soul speaks through you. You're acting in integrity with the soul truths. And so this is a guided activation to help you. You can do it every day, and it really has great results. I think because I record these while I'm spinning in the vortex, so it's out of time, so any could just jump right in with me there and pick up the speed and off we go. So I would love everyone to try it and see how they experience it.
Wow, I just got the chills with you even talking about it. So I think after we jump off our amazing little call here, I think I'm going to give myself the 30 minutes to download and use that. I do have a question. Okay, so before I ask my question, everybody, to receive this beautiful meditation gift from Meg, all you have to do is, if you are listening on my website, TanyaPenny.com, it'll be right below the audio player, the link for the free gift. And if you are on iTunes or Podbean listening, you can go to TanyaPenny.com, and there'll be a link to go to the page where all the wonderful free gifts from all the speakers will be. So that's how you can find Meg's amazing gift and carve out 30 minutes to use it. So quick question about the gift. When people are listening to the meditation, is it okay if, number one, they fall asleep or drift off? Mm-hmm. And is it okay to even push play as you're falling asleep at night and listen to it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So this comes up for me as well, that question all the time. Okay, one thing is, understand that the left brain is our, what we would call our physical mind. This is where you just basically only see the physical world and experience things through the physical senses. So as I'm taking you up higher and higher beyond that left brain, beyond the physical world, that part of our brain can't follow up with us. And so a lot of people trance out. I did too in the earlier years. And what's happening is, as you're working through this process, you're starting to open up more and more of the right brain, which is our multidimensional brain and our psychic brain. This is what we use to visualize and create. So as you continue to use it, just like I did, I had to just trust it was working, but then I saw results. So even though I was trancing out, I'm like, okay, it's working. And that was then you begin to open up the neural pathways in the right brain, and eventually I could stay cognitive while I was doing the entire process. So just know, if you are trancing out, not to worry. It's still working on you. It's just that left brain, where the ego resides, is not able to come up with you when you go into these higher dimensional realms.
Okay, great. I love that explanation. Yeah. And yeah, like a lot of my clients will ask me, you know, with my meditation practices, you know, if the only time I can listen is when I go to bed at night and I fall asleep, is that okay? I'm like, if that's the only time right now that, you know, to start doing this stuff, that you can do that, absolutely. So I wanted to hear that was cool as well for you.
Yep, definitely. It's still working. I think what will happen is you'll begin to get more conscious and want to be more personally involved in it. And so you might, you know, you might also find you want to work with it when you're during the day. But it's because I think as we kind of clear out all of this, the veils and the blockages and all, we're moving more and more into this more co-creative space with the soul that's coming in. So you'll want to get more personally active with it, I think, as time goes on.
More conscious connection, right?
Yeah.
Versus when you're sleeping.
Right.
That's a good place to start, you know, if that's where you're at this point. You know, it's something's better than nothing, is what I say.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Yes.
you know. So awesome, Meg. Again, I just want to thank you so much for carving out time to have this enlightening chat with us today on the Vibrant Body and Abundant Life podcast. And do you have any parting, you know, last words of wisdom that you want to leave with us today?
You know, we mentioned earlier how this year is so important, and it's, I really feel like it's a threshold breakthrough for humanity. I think there's so much light coming onto the planet now that it is illuminating the right brain. You know, it is waking us up. It is dissolving the veils. And so now's the time to really make this a priority, right? Because in a way, the universe is supporting us back. So I just think this is an amazing time to be on the planet, and it looks very chaotic out there. But what's happening is all of what was normally hidden is now being revealed, and it's all coming into the light. Everything will be revealed into the light. Think of it like you're walking around with like a big spotlight on your third eye, you know, like a miner's cap. You are radiating light into everything you do, and it's changing the planet. So I just encourage everyone to take advantage of what's happening this year, especially, and just dive into it. It's you're only going to thank yourself later. It is really, really an amazing time to be here.
Thank you for adding that. I think that is really important for a lot of people to hear. Is let's stop fighting it. Let's open up to it and just say hell yes.
Hell yes. Dive in.
Awesome, Meg. So thank you again for joining us. And, you know, thank you, everybody, for carving out time to join me and Meg today for the Vibrant Body and Abundant Life Expert Series. And I'm Tanya Penny, your self-love catalyst, Vibrant Body and Abundant Life Coach. And if you haven't yet, make sure you also download not only Meg's gift, but the Vibrant Body and Abundant Life Blueprint, the 10 keys to co-creating and living your healthy life of purpose, passion, abundance, and freedom. And you can find the link below this as well. So my parting words are progress, not perfection. So as me and Meg were talking about earlier, you know, just a little bit of time spent every day. You don't have to take huge leaps or huge chunks of time to start putting, you know, these wonderful tips and tools into play, you know, and taking time really to connect with the divine, all parts of you. So those are my parting words. So until next time, have a beautiful day, a beautiful week, and remember that you chose to be here at this time. Bye.
Bye-bye.